In Georgia, Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis is deciding whether a grand jury should examine evidence that witnesses lied under oath in her investigation of former President Trump's efforts to overturn the state's 2020 presidential election results.
It's one of the big political developments of the week, in a week where powerful women made headlines. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now to talk about it. Darlene Superville is a White House reporter for the Associated Press. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, happy to be here.
Glad to have you. And Margaret Taleb is a senior contributor at Axios. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Deepa. Hi, Darlene.
So let's start in Georgia, where Fonnie Willis could become the first prosecutor in history to indict a former president. Margaret, does that seem closer to reality now, and what would that mean?
Well, it certainly means it's possible. We don't know precisely where things are going because the entire report was not released, of course. But what we're talking about here is the idea that there were multiple perjurers, witnesses here who, you know, changed their stories. And that is a problem for former President Trump. And I think you're going to see a lot more coverage around this prosecutor. This is a real force of nature, a historic figure in Georgia law enforcement, and someone to be watched nationally.
Okay. Well, tell us a little more, and Darlene, maybe bring you in here, because yesterday Trump claimed total exoneration because the partial special grand jury report released didn't name him. He didn't testify, but his lawyer and former chief of staff did. Now, as he campaigns for re-election, can Trump brush off this investigation as easily as he has others?
Well, he can certainly try, right? And that's one of the things that Donald Trump is known for doing, just sort of brushing off these serious situations that he finds himself in. But he, you know, he's still under investigation, not only by this special grand jury for his actions in Georgia. He's also being investigated, or continues to be investigated, for his handling of classified documents and material that he took with him to his home in Florida after he left the White House. So he may want to live in an alternate reality where everything seems fine and dandy for him, simply because he was not named in a report from a grand jury to which he did not testify. But time will tell.
This is definitely exactly not an exoneration. Absolutely not an exoneration. And this is a report that's giving Ms. Willis sort of the platform if she decides to seek indictments that could include him. It doesn't mean she will decide that, but it's a tremendous, tremendous tool if she decides to go forward.
Well, we are seeing a polling by the Associated Press that is showing Republicans are evenly divided about whether Donald Trump should actually run again. But as of this week, he officially has a challenger in Nikki Haley, his former U.N. ambassador and South Carolina governor. On Fox News this morning, Haley was asked about a comment from CNN anchor Don Lemon, who said as a 51-year-old woman, she was past her prime.
Look, this is something that I have faced all of my life. I have always made the liberals' heads explode. They can't stand the fact that a minority conservative female would not be on the Democratic side, because they know I pull independents. They know I pull suburban women. They know I pull minorities over to what we are trying to do.
Margaret, how is Haley positioning herself in this race in a field that really is expected to get a lot more crowded?
I mean, she's trying to take advantage of her timing right now to get more concentrated coverage in which she can drive the narrative and she can set the story about herself. And she is the first formal challenger to Donald Trump in what could be a very crowded contest. She's also the first and perhaps the only woman who's going to be running. And she's also in her 50s, which actually folks, groups, and polling tell us Americans think is the prime age. You are in your prime to seek the presidency when you're in your 50s. So she's squarely in her prime, and she knows it. She's been fundraising off of this. She is trying to pursue an argument, not just that she should be a next generation figure, but that, you know, by implication, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are both too old. She's talked about you know, competency tests for candidates over 75. That's not a thing. That's not going to happen. But she's certainly getting a lot of ink off of it. The challenge for her is how to continue to try to hold Trump close when messaging to the base while separating herself from him. She's not renounced him. She continues to say she thinks he was a good president, and she is not dealing squarely with these issues about the role he played in trying to overturn an election that he lost. And so I think for her, the challenge is not going to be her age. I think the challenge is going to be how she holds the base close while still gives herself a place where she can appeal to people who want to move past Trump.
Right. And she has to figure out how to differentiate herself from all of the other candidates who are expected to get into the race later on in this year or next year. So that is a big challenge for her.
Yeah. You know, she obviously is going to be challenged by other candidates, but right now she's kind of, Trump is the only one that she's having to deal with. And, you know, you mentioned there, Margaret, that she talked about him, Trump, as a president. Let's just listen to exactly what she said on NBC yesterday.
What I'll tell you is I think he was a good president. There was so much that he did that was good.
I mean, she's going to be pushed on that one, right?
Sure. But look, DeSantis is the elephant in the room here. And all the early polling, and it is early polling, tells us that there are two candidates in this race. One of them's declared, one of them isn't. It's the Florida governor. DeSantis, also in his 50s, is much more of a contemporary of Haley's and much more sort of in the camp that would say, new generation, like I have, you know, my own message to offer. And the challenge for Nikki Haley, for Mike Pence, for Chris Sununu, for all the Republicans who either in her case have announced or in their cases are kind of in the background, but everyone expects that they are testing the waters, is there any universe in which Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis cancel each other out and it creates a path for a different figure? Or are they all basically triangulating and potential spoilers in a contest between Trump and DeSantis? It's very frustrating if you are a candidate and you're polling at 1% or 3% for people to marginalize you and say, you don't matter, there's only two candidates in the race. But the reality is, in the next couple of months, these people all have to raise money, they have to assemble donors, they have to assemble momentum, they have to continue coverage, and they have to catch in at least the base's interest and imagination in order to propel themselves forward.
We should say Ron DeSantis, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, is actually only 44. So speaking of age, there's a broad range.
Oh, yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I want to move on because in the midst of all this week, there was that spy balloon story. Yesterday, President Biden defended his decision to shoot down a suspected Chinese spy balloon and three other flying objects this month. Yesterday, he said clearer rules of engagement are forthcoming.
But make no mistake. If any object presents a threat to the safety and security of the American people, I will take it down.
Darlene, he's faced bipartisan criticism to say more sooner. It can't help that this week there are stories that kids and parents in a hobby group called the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade think that it was actually their balloon that got shot down last weekend over remote Alaska. I mean, what a story.
Right. And that's exactly why we saw the president come out and say that he's calling for these sharper and clearer rules on how to engage with these unidentified flying objects and how to determine whether they pose a threat or whether they should be shot down or be allowed to just sail across the country as the China spy balloon did before it was ultimately shot down. But he did face a lot of pressure there for a while because there seemed to not be a lot coming from the White House about what these things were, what these objects were, and what they knew. And that vacuum was being filled with a lot of misinformation and theories. And so he had to come out at some point and try to explain the rationale behind his decision-making there.
And I want to just turn us to one more topic that made big news this week, and that was 89-year-old California Senator Dianne Feinstein telling us she's not going to run for re-election. She was the first woman senator from California. New York Times called her a trailblazing Democratic power broker. I think it could be fair to say she's a politician from another era. Margaret, what's your thoughts?
I mean, she stayed too long is the bottom line. Dianne Feinstein's legacy is that she was a trailblazer for women, a trailblazer for gay rights, that she was crucial to the existence of the assault weapons ban for all those years and the call to renew it now. And her work on the CIA torture report revealing what the United States government was doing with interrogation practices after 9/11. If you're 20 or 30 years old, you don't know any of that about Dianne Feinstein. You know that it's a woman who's nearly 90 who has major memory problems, who California Democrats have been trying to figure out how to, you know, succeed her. Yeah. And that's going to be a very crowded race. But when you look at her decades of legacy, it's quite phenomenal.
Margaret Talib, Darlene Superville, really appreciate your comments and contribution. Great conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. Guys.